Well, that's letting up. Good morning, everyone. So for those of you who don't know, UAB is the University of Alabama, Birmingham. So just go Blazers, just to let you all know about that. So presentation, Creating Health Equity in the Southern United States, Unique Perspectives and Challenges. So just a quick word on why I thought that this was something that we needed to share here at APHA. So, you know, going to past APHA conferences, going to other presentations, you know, health equity has now become the language with which public health speaks. But oftentimes, that work that's happening, you see it in only a few places, right? So in California, you always see the health equity work. Some other places, you definitely see it. But in the Southern United States, sometimes you don't always hear about that. So I wanted to share the experiences that, as an organization, we've had working in the Southern United States to, you know, move towards health equity. Not going to stand up here and say that we have all the answers, but actually start this conversation to hear from other people, but because we know this work is happening, and we really need to start a dialogue around health equity work in the Southern United States. So no relationships to disclose. So what I'll talk about during this 20 minutes is the experience that we've had mostly in two programs, two projects that we've had, one in the state of Texas and one in Mississippi. Talk about some of the strategies that we've started to develop through that process, and finally, you know, start to, you know, develop a dialogue around around this work. So the two pieces of work were a set of 18 health equity workshops across the state of Texas, and then the other is organizational capacity building for approximately a little over 75 different types of organizations in the state of Mississippi. So really, the way that we looked at this work and how, you know, creating health equity is happening in the South and how it happens across the country are two main pieces. The first being the language, right? So having the language and really understanding the narrative about what equity means in people's specific places. And the second is having the capacity. So having the capacity to actually start doing this work in the different places, because without either of those, you know, those are really two important pieces that without, unless they're working together, the work is, you know, really hard to move forward. So it's a little bit hard to see on the map on the left. The map on the left shows where these workshops took place. So just to take a quick step back, this work was funded through the Community Transformation Grant through the state of Texas. So the state health department received the Community Transformation Grant, and then they re-granted that out to 18 grantees that were serving 30 counties across the state. About half of those were rural or border or frontier counties. So the pink triangles are where you see where the workshops actually took place. I don't have the counties shaded, but there's, you know, the 18 triangles, but there are actually 30 counties doing that work. So you can see there, you know, a couple different areas that had some clusters. So there were a few along the border, kind of moving from West Texas all the way down to South Texas, you know, Brownsville and a couple other places being right on the border. There were also some kind of in the central part of the state. We did have a few in the panhandle, so you can see Hale and Lubbock counties up there in the top, and also the one that's cut off is Wichita Falls. And then there were also kind of a grouping in the eastern part of the state, all of which, if any of you are familiar with the state of Texas, incredibly different, right? So, you know, the issues that people are working with in these different places, the communities that are there are all incredibly different places. For the state of Mississippi, we're working with organizations at all different levels, mostly nonprofits, working in primarily in the Delta, so in the, you know, the region on the western part of the state along the river, also in Jackson in the middle of the state, and then also down in Biloxi, so down along the Gulf, working with them to understand what do they actually need to have as an organization to do this work. So not all of them are actually strictly public health organizations. Some of them might be working on education issues. Some might be working on criminal justice issues, reentry issues, community development, lots of different types of organizations. You know, but understanding, you know, when thinking about health equity, right, if we don't have all of these organizations understanding the role that they play in creating these environments for health and actually having the capacity to do that work, right, then public health can't do its job as well as it can. So really working with these organizations to understand that. The workshops in Mississippi were a two-day workshop that we developed for these in Texas. It was a two-day workshop that we developed for these grantees, focusing on understanding the root causes of inequities, of disparities, of disproportionalities, really from the perspective of Racism, privilege, oppression, and other types of, you know, these root causes that we know are causing these large inequities in these communities. So when we were first asked to do this, we were very surprised that the state of Texas would be doing this. Because I think, you know, the image that we have as a nation is that, you know, Rick Perry is the governor, and then that's pretty much it, and everything else falls after that, right? Which still is true. That's not the truth. But then when you're actually in these communities, when in these places, that's not the whole picture, right? And so I think that's especially, and you can think about that across the South, right? So if you move from Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, right? We as a country, we know what the national politics of these places, of these states are. But when you actually get into the communities and you get into the places, right, that's not the whole story. And so it's really important when we think about doing this health equity work that we don't just kind of leave these states off to their own just because of who their governor is or who controls the state house and the state legislature. So I just wanted to talk briefly about some of the things that we've started to learn. This is definitely not a full list, but these are some things that we started to learn through this experience. So the first is equity in context. And what that really means is that equity doesn't mean the same thing to everyone, right? And that should be something that we, you know, by definition, we should understand. But I think sometimes we think about equity, sometimes we think about it just as a race thing, and even within a race thing, maybe it's just black and white. And we forget that for some people, that's not their day-to-day life. That's not what they experience every day. So as an example of that, one of the workshops that we did in Texas, kind of in the north central part of the state, in two counties, were almost 98% white. So the counties were incredibly white. So instantly, equity really isn't a race issue for them, right? Because their daily lived experience there's not much predicated on race. So for them, it was very difficult when talking about racism, privilege, and oppression. For them, they had a very different relationship with that as it related to how it impacted their health. And as an example that they brought up, they have one of the worst asthma rates in the entire state, almost in the entire country. But they are ineligible for a lot of grant funding because they don't have a high minority population. They don't have a lot of people of color living in their state. And so to them, when you talk about issues of equity, to them, that's a real equity issue. They have a huge health problem as it relates to asthma, but because of the lack of people of color in their county, they're ineligible to receive funding, right? And so it's these things that when we're talking about equity, especially in the southern United States, we really have to keep in mind because the message, you know, doesn't always reach people in the same way. And so really when talking about how you define equity, part of what we have started to learn and started to see is that it's not just giving the definition, right? We might use different definitions for equity, for health equity, and it's not just giving that, but then it's talking about what does that actually mean in your place, right? So there's obviously core concepts, there's core things that undergird, you know, the concept and the idea of equity, but it means different things in different places, and that was something that we really wanted to make sure what happened in those places. The other, like I said, is that in these different communities, it's not all the same, right? And so I think part of that is you have lots of people that really do care about the communities that they work in, they care about the communities they live in, and they really want to do their job well. And part of it is that they're really running up against a really tough narrative, right, in some of the places that they live, whether that's a very conservative narrative that they have to find ways in order to get this work done. So, for example, in one of the places, we were working with kind of one of the Catholic charities, and so they very much had that equity view already. They were doing that work, but they could not use that language. They told us if we go into our board meeting and use this word equity, and we talk about benefits and burdens and all of this stuff, we will be thrown out of the room. So what they have to do is they have to internalize the language, but then they have to use the language that works for them. So for them, the language that worked was needy populations, right? I think for people kind of working in some places, you might almost cringe at hearing, you know, needy populations, right? Because thinking about, you know, that the lack of power that denotes. But for them, they had to use that language. That was the only way they would be able to get the work done. So it's about understanding, you know, who you're working with, what the context is. And I don't think any of this is particularly revolutionary, but it is things that we have started to learn. The next is equity is multidimensional. So that really goes back to the point that things are very much layered in a lot of these places, especially in some of the rural places, and I'll talk to that in a second. But one thing that we started to learn, especially in the places where they really, from a political perspective, could not use this word, the concept was a little bit foreign to them. They really didn't even, you know, necessarily buy into the equity piece. But what they did understand is the power of religion. So for many people in these places, the obligation that they had to improve the conditions in which people live in had nothing to do with equity, but it had to do with their faith. And it had to do with what they thought was important, what they thought was right, and what they thought their role as an individual was to do this work. So in a lot of places, you know, that was the language with which they spoke. It was not about equity. It was not about, you know, what they saw and what we heard in some of these workshops and some of the evaluations that we got were, this has a very liberal bent, this is almost socialism, lots of these types of things. But because that's the language and that's the narrative in a lot of the places in Texas and also in Mississippi. But the other piece there is that you have a lot of people that do believe in this work, but they don't have the language to speak it. They don't know that this is the narrative that can exist in the world because they're surrounded by this all the time. So having an opportunity to have these conversations together, to actually just get people in the room, I think what we learned is that people feel really isolated in this work. I mean, I think, you know, anybody, you know, we all think that, you know, we're kind of, you know, doing our own thing, and it's hard to reach out to other people. But even in these small communities, a lot of times people really felt isolated, especially when they knew they were up against these larger narratives around conservatism and other types of ideas. And so it was really important to pull people into the room together. The importance of rural dynamics. In some of these communities, what we saw in Texas and Mississippi, for any of you that work in rural areas, it is completely different. I mean, it is, and I think probably the North Dakota experience is probably, you understand very well, that it's a completely different story. And so I think when we talk about health equity a lot, we think urban communities, right? We think big cities, maybe some suburban areas, but we don't necessarily think about the rural areas. And it is a completely different and a much needed conversation in those places, because those people, the people that live in rural places, they want to be there and they want to live there, but it's such a difficult place. And so coming to them and seeing the literature around health equity, seeing around the resources that are out there on health equity, there isn't a whole lot around the rural dynamics. And especially in the rural places, what we started to learn was the importance of relationships. So I think, and the time it took to build those relationships, because in a lot of places, you know, the people living in the rural places felt, you know, isolated, obviously because of geography, but they also felt as if they had almost been kind of left behind, forsaken. And so the trust in building those relationships to talk about these issues was something that we repeatedly heard from the grantees in Texas, but also in Mississippi, that it takes the time, and you have to invest that time and also, you know, follow up with that with action to make that work. So the last piece that, you know, that I really want to mention again is working in these places, unless you look below the surface, unless you, you know, kind of throw away the preconceived notions you have about who lives in these places, who works in these places, and what they believe, then you're actually not going to see the work that is happening to advance health equity in the South. And I think that's probably true. You know, I use the South because of the national view of that, but that's, of course, that's true in any other place. But until you actually get below the surface and see the work that these people are doing, but also understand what equity means to them and what equity means in their community, in their context, then, you know, we're actually leaving a whole host of these communities behind. And because of the national the state-level politics in these places as it relates to Medicaid expansion or other types of things, this is the conversation that needs to be happening in these places, even more so than maybe not more so, but just as much as in any other place. And so really understanding, you know, what's happening, so really understanding what does equity mean in these places is the first thing, and having the time to build those relationships and build those conversations to make this work. So I know that we probably don't have time for questions now, but I just wanted to throw two things out there for anyone else that's been working on these issues or that can think about these things, just some questions to actually start this dialogue, because I don't want to stand up here and say that, you know, these are all the answers, because obviously they're not. I just, you know, mentioned a few things. But that just thinking about, you know, what are people's experiences? Did anything I said resonate with you? So maybe if you can start thinking, what have your experiences been? And then has anything stood out? You know, it's a common thread. So I don't know if we can take these questions now, Stephanie, or if we should kind of hold those to the end.
We can take maybe one or two now.
Okay, we can take one or two now, so I know I have something.
What particularly stood out for me was the rural-urban sort of issue that you've come up with, because I work in a large jurisdiction in Southern California that mixed urban and rural.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it's making that connection. And I try to describe it as, well, it's a web, because in our rural areas we have a lot of agriculture, but there's also issues like complete streets that need to be addressed in those areas as well, just because they're rural and they have a two-lane road, and it means that they can't have bike lanes for active transportation.
Right.
So there is that. We need to be conscious of that, and I think that in public health we need to bridge that as well, because there are very communities in rural areas that are that need to have some of these health issues addressed as much as in some of the more urban areas.
Absolutely, and I think one piece is, I think, you know, for some of us, you know, you might be familiar with the colonias, right? So those are those communities in Texas that have no infrastructure, right? There's literally no sewage, there's no electricity, there's these types of things. And that's really a stark example. But even, you know, even if you're not a colonia, there's a lot of infrastructure issues in a lot of these places that really make a difference. And there's one more thing that I do want to add. When thinking about health equity, and especially thinking about, you know, policy systems and environmental change, I think one thing that was a new experience for me, especially working in the state of Texas, is actually, if you're working on whether it's the county level or the community level, what power people actually have to pass laws. That was a big thing in the state of Texas, right, because of the home rule issues that they have. You actually, mostly, you can't pass a law at the county level. Right, so you have, in this case, when you have the city, so you might have a large city in a community, and they're able to pass a smoke-free ordinance. But everybody that lives outside of that, they are not covered by that. Right, and so if there's businesses there, you almost have to go business by business to work with them to get this passed. And so thinking about that is one of those urban-rural dynamics, especially in a place where, you know, the only people that can be impacted by an ordinance are people that live within a city, and then everyone outside of that might be affected. So that's another equity issue that came up a lot there. So, you know, any more questions afterwards, you know, we can talk. But I just wanted to throw those up there, and thanks so much.